Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Casey Tapstick. My name is Diane and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. And I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded for training purposes. And now I'd like to hand over to Tracy. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Wessex Route. I trust everybody is well and happy today, particularly as we have some sunshine. The format of today's safety half hour, actually, we're going to put a time limit on this, is I will talk about a stand down brief for driving and near miss. I will go through safety blog, and then we have a guest, Keith Penn, who will be talking about POS, the POS plant operation scheme. So thank you very much for joining. I have the dubious pleasure of going through all the recordings of the safety hour that are done week by week, and I have to say I apologise because I loathe the sound of my voice, but didn't Ben do well last week? So a general reminder, shout out to make sure everybody, either working with you, for you, or you work for, does the stand down brief for driving, and the numbers are collated and go back to the centre. This is an important briefing, and the fact that it is a major stand down recorded brief, kind of displays the intensity of this organisation's view of this risk, and that means they've spent an awful lot of time and energy thinking about what is in that brief. So if you have not engaged with it, please find somebody who's doing, or find somebody who will engage with you on the driving stand down brief. And my shout out is about the near miss stand down brief as well, because the biggest risk to our track workers is still the moving train. So, having got that shout out done, I will now go through the blog quite briefly. Safety hour attendance last week 65%. We can do better. So if we can make sure we do it and record it, that would be helpful. Number of close calls raised, 105, 105 in last week. And I'm sure most of us are aware that close calls are on the corporate scorecard. So they are a measurement that is taken seriously. And Mr. Stevens has just bought my lunch. Thank you very much. Incidents last week. There's a couple of irregularities and a couple of accidents. Primarily, man hit his head on the lid of a slam vault lid. And can I just point out with that one, it was a known fault with the lid, so a heads up beforehand and perhaps a close call would have thought a bit before he hit his bonnet. Fareham staff accident, man using spike extractor to remove spikes from base plates when the spike split, allowing the jaw to slip up and the handle of the tool shot up and struck him on the chin. So check all tools for damage before use and at regular intervals in the work activity. Tottenham possession irregularity, reported by an ODM carrying out site visits. Now the ODMs do site visits, which is really useful because we've got to keep the quality up of our management. PLB and DETS replaced London side of a set of points instead of countryside. Blockman was quite lucky insofar as he was still inside the line blockage, because if you get that location wrong, you might put yourself in an open line, and huge risk, don't want to go there. RTA, and we've had about 5 in the last 4 weeks, but they are slow moving, minor RTAs without injuries. This one was rear end shunt. And the last accident I've got on this list is a man twisting his knee getting out of a van, and that is also always a nasty accident. And how he's carried on working, I don't know. Fair play to him. But getting out of a van can be a tricky business if you're not concentrating, as a lot of people have found to their detriment over the years. So, all that aside, fortunately, we have Mr. Keith Penn in the room with me. Now, Keith has been pushing something called the Plant Operations Scheme for about the last year or so. So what I've asked him to do is to come talk to me, tell me what it is, why we need it, and how it will affect the planning and the guys doing the work at night. So, for the listener, would you like to introduce yourself, Mr. Penn?
Afternoon, everyone. I'm Keith Penn, the plant manager for The Root. Just here to talk to you about POS this afternoon.
Right. Okay, tell me what a POS is.
So POS is the Plant Operations Scheme. This is a scheme that's been developed to replace POL, which is the Rail Plant Operating Company in Possession of Licence. Previously, maintenance or network rail maintenance were exempt from POL, but once these licences were renewed, it was decided that we needed to comply with the POS scheme. So therefore, going forward, we will need to be compliant with the POS scheme, which is the process that we're in at the moment.
Right, so what does it cover? What does it actually cover in terms of kit?
So the POS scheme is Plant Operation Scheme, which applies to on-track plants. So exempt from that would be on-track machines. So machines like tampers, grinders, trams, cranes, on-track cranes, for example, would not be included in the POS scheme. So any on-track plant which operates on our infrastructure needs to be compliant with the Plant Operations Scheme.
Do we know why there's a difference?
The reason is mainly to do with the number of incidents involved on-track plants. So we've had a number of incidents in the past where they've had various accidents or other incidents. So therefore, it was decided that we needed to have a scheme in place which was more robust and therefore would control the way that we plan and use on-track plant on our infrastructure.
Right, okay. So, that would sound reasonable, actually, because they're kind of nippy little blighters, aren't they?
Yeah, obviously they're reverse hole machines, so therefore we can use them for various different tasks and they're very useful, but they also need to be controlled.
Right, okay. So, on-track plant, what else? What else happens?
So, in terms of where we're at in the process within the route, so it was decided through Milton Keynes Central that each route would be applying to be a POS scheme licence holder. So as Wessex route, we need to go forward as a route to apply to be POS licence holder. For us to plan and operate on-track plant on the infrastructure on the Wessex route as Network Rail, we need to hold this licence.
So. So if we don't hold the licence, we can't run plant.
No, so there is one other option. So the second option is to buy in that resource. So we can buy in the POS licence and the machinery through one of our core suppliers, for example, Balfour BT or L&W or other on-track plant suppliers that we use.
Right, so does that mean contractors have their own POS, effectively?
That's right. So there are a number of companies that have got their license approved. Balfour Beatty Rail, Ready Power, two examples who have their full POS license. So we can therefore go to them and they will provide a full package of the POS.
Right, so who are our main on-track plant suppliers at the moment?
So our core suppliers are Balfour Beatty and L&W.
Do L&W have a POS?
L&W currently do not have a POS licence and they are not in the process of applying for one at the moment.
Right, okay, so if I normally go to L&W from the plant, I cannot get a POS covered
yep.
So by them, but I could go to Balfour's.
Yeah.
So and Balfour supply that service for an LNE plant?
Yeah, so Balfour's supply that service as a whole package. So that would be from the planning stage through to delivering the work on site with a POS rep that has to be on each site.
But the ideal scenario is we do it ourselves.
Yes, obviously it's a much cheaper option for Network Rail to have that license and manage it ourselves.
Yeah.
And also I think it's best practice that as Network Rail we should be the leaders in safety and we should therefore manage our site safely with our own license.
Right, okay, sounds reasonable. Right, so we are almost there with our license.
Yeah. So at the moment we've conducted an F4 gap analysis to assess how our management process or structure is put into place.
Yeah.
And we've also had a depot technical audit, which we passed and are now being put forward for a provisional POS license as Network Rail Wessex Route.
Oh, right, so we're going to get a provisional license because we're there. What's the difference between a provisional and, yes, you've got a full license?
A provisional license allows us to work under the POS scheme rules out on site. And then during that time, while we're under a provisional license, we will have site audits conducted. And there will be further proofs to put forward to the panel to say that we should be granted a full license once we've passed the site audits.
Right, okay. So who's doing the auditing?
The audit's being carried out within Network Rail, but it's being managed and administrated by Achilles, who are now called Risk.
Right, okay, yeah. Right, so we got our provisional license. We are doing POSing, for want of a better description. Auditors will come out, sent by Achilles, to check us to see whether we're doing it properly. And at some point in time, they say, yes, Network Rail, Wessex Route, you are good to go. You have your full license.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Do they tell us they're coming?
The site visit will be an announced visit, so we will select a site that we want to be audited on.
Yeah.
Obviously, once we've got our full license, then we will be randomly audited or monitored, and there will be assurance checks carried out throughout the route to maintain our license. So once we get our full license, we need to maintain it, and that's important because obviously if there's any breaches of the scheme rules, these will be reported up through to the review panel and therefore action can be taken and our license revoked.
Right, okay. So what does that mean to the business? So in theory, you've done all you can do at the moment to get your provisional. We have to do some, does everybody have to have a POS on site in the provisional stage to get into a groove? Or just specific sites?
The process has been a bit rushed at this moment to deliver it on, to get it in and in place. So at the moment we need to actually work under the scheme rules. Once this provisional license is issued, we need to be acting and working under those scheme rules. All our POS representatives have been trained and the training has been completed.
Yeah.
So those POS reps now need to be planned to be delivering their work out on site and monitoring what on-track plant are doing out there.
Right, okay. So how many POS reps do we have?
So, for example, we have 33 on working DU. So overall there was 90 places of training places allocated, and I'd say roughly about 80% of those were delivered, so we're looking at about 70 plus POS reps for the route.
Right, do we need any more? Is there any more training available?
So there's currently a couple of spaces available on an additional training course on the 2nd of September, and there's another course on the 9th of September. It's a one-day training course upskilling machine controllers or crane controllers to be POS reps. Now they have to be OTP core or and the machine controller material handler prerequisite. If they're a crane controller for an OTM, then they cannot be POS rep trained. It's only for OTP.
Right, okay. So I probably worked that wrong way. So there I am, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. I've got on track plan. So in a work site, what is the difference now? What do I need? And what does he do?
I think for the majority of people who are on this call, we're talking about maintenance jobs where we're dealing with one on-track plant RRV excavator, maybe two possibly doing a tandem lift. So the majority of those jobs, you'll be the upskilled machine controller can act as the POS rep. So he can act as the POS rep as well. If you get to a more complex work site where you've got several pieces of plant in the same location, then you'll need to appoint a separate POS rep who cannot act as a machine controller at the same time. He would just be a POS rep only on site to liaise with the ES and just ensure that the plant is working safely.
So what is the POS rep responsible for exactly?
So he's responsible for checking all the plans are in place, and he should assist in the planning process. He should be there on site checking that all the paperwork is in place, all everything's compliant, the machinery, the competence of all the staff, and then he should there discuss and talk to the ES regarding the tasks and the way that all of the machines will be positioned on site, maintain exclusion zones. He's there just to oversee the machine controllers are carrying out their duties correctly as well.
Ooh, would there be any conflict between a machine controller and a POS rep?
Yeah, and there's often going to be times where people have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's important the POS rep is someone who's familiar with that work task and that machinery. So that's the most important part.
Okay. So if so, would a POS rep effectively correct the behaviour of a machine controller? And if there was a dispute, what would we do with that?
There's a number of options. You can either carry out the safe work procedure. You could then obviously to speak with the ES, the engineering supervisor, and work a way forward through that direction, or you can close call it. You could, so there's a number of issues, you know, a number of ways you can handle it. Obviously, ideally, you'd work together as a team and work out the best solution and the way forward and to deliver the work safely.
Right. Okay. So, a machine controller can be a POS rep.
Yep.
Yeah. If it's complex, then you would expect them to be different individuals.
Sorry, yeah.
That POS would be involved in the planning of the machines, the work activity, and involved in the risk assessment?
Yeah, obviously it'd be so part of the list, or the planning process for any on-track plant. There'll be a method statement or say system will work developed for that machine.
Yeah.
So the POS rep should be involved in that process.
Right, so if I'm a POS rep, I've done all that, do I have to be the POS rep on the night?
Yeah, so if you're the POS rep who was involved in the planning, then you should be the POS rep on the night. Obviously, things change.
Yeah.
There could be a reason why that POS rep was unable to work that night. So obviously that new POS rep, this is a new process, so we have actually developed how it's going to actually work out on site, but there would have to be a briefing involved where that new POS rep would be up to speed and understand the work involved. With more complex sites, then there needs to be a contingency in place. So if you've got a complex work, renewals, job, etc., then you'd need a contingency plan to have a POS rep who's available in case you lose one.
Right, okay. So, the question to you, Keith, is have we missed anything so far? Is there some glaring bit of this process we should have covered before I go out and ask the masses?
Not really. Obviously, I've been conducting briefings throughout the route. I have one again tomorrow at Basingstoke Conference Room at the HQ. There's no other briefings planned, but if anyone requires a briefing, then contact me. I can obviously preferably brief one of your team, or your team as a whole would be preferable. So. Yeah, those briefings will be ongoing, so that's something worth mentioning.
Obviously, that's your holes.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Diane?
Yes?
Right, can we now open up for questions from the listeners, please, to see if there's some glaring error in the discussion we've just had and I've missed something.
Thank you, Tracy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. Make sure you're not on mute. Record your name, then press the hash key. If you decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question, and all other lines will remain on listen only. So to ask a question, key star one. Make sure you're not on mute. Record your name and press the hash key. Thank you.
You
We have your first question through, and that comes from the line of...
Ivan.
Please go ahead. Yay. You're on the call.
Just for mine and everybody else's benefit, does the POS rep, is that a competency on your Sentinel card?
Yes, that's right, yes. POS rep is a competency on Sentinel, so all training has to go through the Oracle system for being a POS rep.
And do you have additional other paperwork to fill out on site, as it were?
Yeah, so there's some checklists that the POS rep will need to complete just to double check that the machine controller has all his safe system will work pack and his lift plan and all the other systems are there. So yeah, so there's a checklist to make sure that they're all in order, because also if you've got a complex site, the POS rep could be POS repping a number of machine controllers, therefore he needs to check all their paperwork and have a discussion as a team to make sure they're working in the best and most safe fashion.
Right, and so he could be doing some of that checks before the possession starts, for example. We could check.
Yeah, so obviously before the machines get on track, the machine controls carry out their checks, and the POS would be on site as well. He would also check their paperwork with them, and then they'd have a discussion and a briefing together to work out how they're going to deliver the work.
And my sort of last question, so I'll squeeze in about three on one question. So they have a Sentinel competency. Do they have an armband like machine controller does, or a crane controller?
There is an armband available, so I think definitely they will be wearing an armband as a POS rep to identify them.
But it's not mandated.
It's not mandated in the standard.
Interesting.
Right. I think that's the way we'll be going forward. They'll be identified with an armlet.
As Ivan, you've triggered into, can I have two POSes in a worksite?
Yes, of course. You can have as many POSes as you like. So that'll be assessed in the planning stage to deem and work out the number of POSes that you require, depending on a number of factors, the type of tasks you're carrying out, the site conditions, the complex layout of the track. So that, you know, through the planning stage, that will be decided on the number of POS reps required for that site.
Is it an exact science?
No.
Sorry, Ivan.
Any more questions, Ivan?
I suppose everybody could contact you if they want more details. You're on the system, aren't you, Keith?
Yes, I am. So, yeah, if anyone wants to ask any questions or want some information, then just contact me. Keith Penn, so I'm on the system.
And we have no further questions on the audio side. Thank you.
Mike, thank you, Dan. Thank you, Ivan. Right, so, new system, briefed. Enough people have come to the briefing?
The number of people attending the briefings has increased. The first briefings, there was a low attendance, but it's certainly increased as people have understood that this is happening and the POS will be introduced onto the route. Tomorrow I have a briefing at Basingstoke and I've got 25-30 people tomorrow, so yeah.
Okay. So have we got room for more if there's anybody who wants to?
Yeah, there's plenty of room at the conference room for any more people who want to attend.
Right, okay.
We have had another question through, Tracy. Would you like to take that now?
Oh, yes, please.
Thank you, and that comes from the line of?
John Dealey.
Please go ahead, you're live in the call.
Thank you. That's actually just a plea to maintenance. There are two opportunities here whereby pauses can be brought into play. One is if the organisation, for instance, the maintenance organisation, has staff who have got the various qualifications that allow them to step up. The other is for organisations that don't have that, such as myself in work delivery, running conductor rail and drainage jobs, where I don't have those staff, to go to market and to buy in the license and to buy in the POS. However, as you probably heard, L&W don't have any intention of going forward on POS. Balfour Beatty, although approved on the license, have not as yet gone on the Coombs system for that, and there are some doubts about the capacity of the market to meet our needs. So therefore, what my request is that I'll be very, very open to anyone in maintenance who wants to offer up pauses for CapEx works in drainage or conductor rail, and just to use this opportunity to just to put it out there. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a new scheme and we're obviously developing it, but it will be an aspiration to have all our POS reps that are available to be resourced to different teams. So that is something that we're looking at, and obviously the best way forward, really. And as you said, John, at the moment, Balfour Beatty do hold a full POS license, although they are not showing up on Coombe. So at the moment, we're not able to order that as a resource through Balfour Beatty. So obviously that's a worry for you and a risk for you, John, that needs to be addressed as soon as possible.
Actually, because I'm looking at something now, John, that says the POS rules in brackets for maintenance. So is there a disparity between works delivery and maintenance on this?
I don't think so. I think maintenance means operations, really. I think that's just generally.
Okay.
As in, I think IP, Network Rail IP projects have their own POS license. So this is really reference to the maintenance operations organisation of Network Rail. Because actually, Works Delivery will be the POS license holders.
For us?
Yeah, for the Wessex Route.
Because
they were the ones that have gone through the application process and put them forward.
Right, okay. So, that role sits inside maintenance,
yeah.
Inside Works Delivery.
Right.
They've gone through the process. Maintenance benefit from that process, albeit Works Delivery, but they haven't got any POSes. Or is it just John's bit?
Mainly John's bit. So Works Delivery do have POSes, but they do often contract in POSes, machine controllers who would normally.
Right, okay. Right, so it's a shout out for support for Mr. Deary in Works Delivery. Anything else, John?
Nope, that was all. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
We have no further
questions,
thank you.
So, Keith will be away for 3 weeks on holiday, and when he comes back, hopefully he'll be inundated with more people who want briefings who cannot make here tomorrow at what time?
10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow at Basingstoke Rock Conference Centre.
Okay, brilliant. So any other questions, please send them in, and we will endeavour to get Keith back to you if we don't know the answer whilst he's away. Last words?
Well, just to say thank you for all the callers and the questions. Obviously, this is a new scheme. It needs support from everybody in the route, so it needs the safety team on board and to understand the process, and also from the senior managers to also support this process. So, yeah, it's been good to get our plant aligned and our management structure in place. So, yeah, hopefully this will be able to enable us to deliver our work out there more safely in the future.
Okay. Because if you get the plant wrong, it tends to end up in loss of life or limb,
yeah.
To be fair. So thank you very much, and don't forget, everybody, support your POS. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Tracy. And Keith, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.